You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I don't know how long a fortnight is, but I know I'm not going to remember the next one.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comic book creator Felisa Markhorst. And now your host. Currently in the market for a gently used Tesla, Dees Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dees. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging around, joining us for another episode of the program. If you like what you hear, as usual, tell a friend, let people know. Rate us, review us on your pod catcher, wherever you're checking out your better podcasts, and also this one gets thrown into the mix there. Let us know what you think. We appreciate it. Helps us with climb the charts, that little algorithm gods that we need to bow to these days. Back on track with the weekly show, guys. Like I said, you know, obviously I've been a little busy with the comic book, so we're getting back on track to doing the show weekly again, dedicated to get that 52 episodes to you this year, which didn't happen last year, but this year we're doing it, baby. We're gonna make it happen. So thanks for coming back. We got a great show lined up for you today. Before we get into that, though, if you're listening to this Thursday, the day it comes out, you can find me tomorrow at the Overtime Theater in San Antonio, Texas, doing live stand-up comedy. So check that out. Saturday, I will be at the Antarctic Press 40th anniversary party, slanging some comic books. So come check that out. And then next week, I will be at the Kings of Horror Convention in San Antonio. That's Friday through Sunday. We'll have issues, the variants of Kill Stan there if you want number one. And then the 23rd, I will also be at Upstage Comedy Lounge with the THC show. So come check that out, guys. That's a fun time. Those shows sell out fast. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, get on that. You can use promo code WEEDS on checkout to get a special 50% off discount. But tickets are going fast. That's a fun show where we have comedians do a set. Then we have them partake in things they're not supposed to partake in this great state of Texas. And then we have them do comedy again, sometimes with disastrous results. So come join in the fun. And soon we will have issues of Kill Stan number 2 for you. It's at the printer. So within a couple weeks, we'll have those in your hot little hands. So keep an eye out for that on Inferno's website or Inferno.Earth on Instagram. And we will get you the number 2, we got a couple cool variants, and they're coming in hot. So check it out, guys, and go to the calendar at deescomedy.com for all the live dates. There's more stuff coming up in San Antonio, Texas, Leon Valley. I'll be back in Houston next month, bunch of stuff. So, yeah, that's it, guys, for the announcements. We are going to get into it with our guest today. She comes to us all the way from the Netherlands. Very far away. I have a lot of questions about that and everything else. She's a comic book creator and much, much more. Please welcome Felisa Markhorst. Felisa, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Did I get it right that time?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So I'll work on it. By the end of it, I'll get it.
Yeah, it's just difficult. It's fine.
Well, you know, our American public schooling system is not great. So, you know, our education level isn't
very... It's very notorious.
Yeah, English is barely a language here. So, you can't expect us to master things like you guys are doing over there. So,
yeah, it's pretty funny sometimes, you know, because we joke around about it a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do.
But how you guys speak English better than we do?
Well, no, that's not really a thing. Like, it's more, for example, how you don't know, like, certain countries or the flags or just general information, like, people should know, kind of. And then, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, but Americans never know anything.
Yeah, we're America. We're number one. We don't worry about number two or three. We just go, you know, we're on top of that heap, you know.
Because some people are like, oh, the Netherlands, is that a country? And I'm like, oh, you're probably American, right? And then they're like, yeah, of course. Like, how did you know? And I was like, yeah, because like most people would know that's a country, you know?
You'd be, here's the thing that's confusing about the Netherlands for dumb Americans. Because
people think it's Amsterdam.
Right. Well, people probably think Holland is a country.
Ah, maybe. That, yeah. It's like, but that's only part of the country.
Right, right. It's like it's like two provinces that combine to make Holland, is that correct?
Yeah, oh, exact. Oh, you know so much. You're so smart.
I know a couple things. I'm just a Mexican with a GED. I don't have, or whatever. I don't know what a GED means to you in Netherlands. It means I didn't graduate high school and I was went to jail too much as a kid. That's what a GED means in America.
Well, if you ask me, you know, like, I don't think that a degree actually stands for, you know, like being smart or whatever. Yeah. I think it definitely helps, you know, in some ways, but it doesn't define like your intelligence or anything.
Yeah, I've been telling potential employers that for 30 years, but they still want to see a degree. I'm kidding, but it is funny. Especially in America, because you're in education in the Netherlands as far as the work you do. So, like in America, at least, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is our education system is based off an old, like Germanic, Gregorian, like, basically a socialist system that was designed to teach people to be good cogs in the wheel, like to teach us how to be good factory workers. Not to actually educate us and teach us critical thinking and, you know, real knowledge, like a real breadth of knowledge. Like, it was like, how do we get these people to just be obedient factory workers?
Well, yeah, but I think it's actually the case in most countries. Like, I don't think it's very different in different countries,
really?
But there are some teachers that are different, you know, and they try to make a difference within the system.
I feel like Japan's doing pretty well. But, you know, some of these countries have it down. But yeah.
I lived in Japan, you know, for 7 months. Yeah.
Oh, man.
To be honest, like the educational system was so different over there because the like the kids, they were so disciplined, but they were also very obedient. And I don't know. They were very structured and very polite.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, that's kind of different here in my country.
They were so polite,
but they were scared to say anything at all, you know. And if you ask a question, they wouldn't even raise their hands to answer the question.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is
polite. So that's like the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Well, they'll be gone soon. They're not breeding enough to repopulate. So Japan, yeah, it's true. It's a, you know, they're like they say in like 30 years they'll be basically, you know, unless they start looking outside the country in like 30 years, there's not going to be a high enough breeding population of Japanese people. Everyone's got to go at some point.
I don't know how they're going to solve that.
You gotta start banging other people, I think.
Instead of the androids.
Right. That's coming hot and fast. The synthetic girlfriends is here. That's a reality.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
This may be too much information, a couple years ago on this show, there's an article that came up about a brothel in Canada, which didn't have like real women working there. It only had sex robots, right? Like legitimate sex robots at this brothel. And we went to their page to look at this thing because we're talking about on the show, and each of these sex dolls had like a profile with their picture and like personality traits, you know, like Tina's precarious and a little spicy, but you know, she can be talked into anything if you coax her enough. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, are these people sexually assaulting a doll right now? You have to like coax her into it? What is happening in these Canadian sex brothels?
Yeah, but it's like everyone has like a different kind of fantasy, right? And I think it's better they live up their fantasies with a doll than with actual people, you know? But it also depends. I mean, if people enjoy it, it's fine. But there are so many people who are forced into, into the business, you know, even though they don't want to.
Sure.
And I think that's pretty painful.
Well, like, yeah. If it's one or the other, I think we'd all choose the sex dolls. But you know, you hope that people would maybe go outside and meet a real person.
That would be way better. I think communication is also quite quite troublesome for some people.
Mm. Yeah, why do you think that is?
Oh, I really wonder. I really wonder so many times because I often feel like I have communication issues with people. Then with some people, I feel like I can level with them like really well, and I can talk about everything and anything, you know? Like, for example, one of my best friends, whenever I talk to her, I feel like that we're on the same page like all the time. Sure. She understands exactly what I'm trying to say and the point I'm trying to make. And I always understand her. So we have like a very good connection. But sometimes I communicate with other people and then I feel like am I some kind of like alien or whatever, you know? Like, I mean, I feel like I'm from a different planet because like nothing that I say is getting through, or I don't understand a single thing this person's saying.
Yeah.
Like, and it's pretty difficult if you're communicating that way. I think it's very important that you have someone that you can really truly connect with.
Do you think that it has anything to do with, you know, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but like social media and the way people connect, you know, digitally now, instead of in person. So when it really is harder to connect with people when we do connect with people, I mean, like, this is great. It's great that we can connect with people across the world and do this.
Yeah.
But also there is a disconnect where we're not actually connecting, you know? So like, and there's more of this and less of the outside world connection. So people are just feeling, just don't really know how to go that level deeper.
Yeah, but still, I think this is kind of like the closest thing you can come to like actual connection. Like us talking this way, at least we can see each other's expressions.
Sure.
And expressions really mean so much when you're communicating with someone. Also, you know, the hand gestures, the way the eyes look. Someone's facial expression just has like a lot of, I wouldn't call it like hidden messages, but I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like communication, even in your expression.
Yeah. Just body language, and subtext.
Yeah. In your body language, everything. And then, whenever you're, you know, like, texting, it becomes a huge problem because like whenever you read something, you read it in your mind the way you think the person said it.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if someone says like, oh, I don't mind, you can say like, oh, I don't mind, you know, like you can say it in a kind way. You can say like, I don't mind, like, I don't care, or like whatever you want, you know? Well, it can be very, kind of bitchy or something as well. And like depending on how the person receives it, that's kind of like the way, the way it is, you know, like perceived.
Yeah.
So then if that happens, then you get a miscommunication instantly. So like text message is very dangerous, to be honest, you know, like sometimes if you don't know the person well, like it can cause lots of trouble.
Yeah. And also a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this too, because I'm very busy. So what I will do is like, I will respond, I will respond to things like in shorthand almost, you know, like in it sounds kind of curt, but I'm just like, all I'm doing is like meat and potatoes. I'm just conveying the information that needs to be conveyed. That's not flowery at all. And then I'll go back later. I'm like, they probably thought I was being a cunt. You know, so I
even though you're not trying to be.
Yeah, I used to a lot. Because one of my friends, she would tell me that I was really bad at like coming. I would always come off as a dick in text. So I would, there's an emoji of like a smiley face, like a huggy emoji. So I would send that after almost every message just so people knew. I'm like, no, this is my not being a cunt emoji. Like,
so I mean, well,
yeah, it's okay, yeah. So I started doing that a lot just to be like, okay, just keep in mind, this is me. It's okay.
Yeah, it's still me, you know, yeah. Like it's still me being me, kind of. Yeah, but I think if someone really knows the way you are, like they wouldn't mind.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Once you get to know someone a little bit more, but again, this is how we communicate so much with people, and not even just like this where you can see each other, but via text and stuff. And I think a lot of people, you know, younger generation especially, and it creates a disconnect to where when they're out in reality, they have a hard time connecting, at least in America, have a hard time connecting with other people because they don't really do that. And, you know, they all have some sort of form of anxiety or, you know, depression. And it's like, well, yeah, you just hide in your room and, you know, on your phone all day. It's like
there are some schools, you know, in my country that actually they banned phones.
That's great.
In the school, yeah, so they can only keep them in their lockers and then they can't take them out at all, so even not during the breaks.
Oh,
and
right.
I think that's good because then they can call home, you know, whenever they're finished, but if they still have school, you know, then they can't use their phones.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty good, because you can see that the kids are connecting again.
It's important.
Yeah. Because at my school, for example, they don't have it. And then you often see kids with their phones, you know, and then during the break, they just sit in a row.
Yeah.
And they're just like this, you know, like on their phones texting. And I'm like, who are you texting? Yeah. Your phones are right here.
They're probably texting each other. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, they're sending... like the person is sitting like on the corner of the table.
They just get up and go talk to that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, no, they should play games or something, you know, like it's good if we have cards or stuff. And then, so it's also very difficult. I mean, as a teacher, if you see this kind of stuff, like it also has like some side effect on your own, like mental health, because you worry about them so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see it. I mean, it's, I know personally, like I said, I work so much and I'm constantly writing and or traveling for work because I do stand-up comedy for a living. So I'm traveling doing that or I'm doing the comic book and like, I'll have times where I haven't like really had interactions with humans besides work stuff. And I'll have to have a human interaction. And I'm like, I don't know how to communicate with this person right now. So what I try to, if I feel like I'm getting that way, I'll be like, I got to go down to the comedy club tonight. Like, I'll just get up, I'll do a 10-minute spot and I'll hang out with other comedians. Cause no one will make you get out of your shell faster than other comedians because we just talk shit to each other. So you got to be like, oh, I got to be alive and I got to listen and I got to fire back or I'm going to get demolished. And you really, you know, so sometimes you have that realization like, oh, I'm not personing enough right now.
Yeah, but I think that's good because, you know, like if you know that the person's just being mean as a joke, like then it's fine, right?
Yeah.
And like this generation also doesn't understand such jokes. Like often when you say something, then they immediately perceive it as something like very grave, you know, like as if you're really insulting them or something.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just a joke. Right. Like this person's just joking. You know, like take it easy.
It's okay. It's okay.
It'll work up. Yeah.
It's nice to know the kids are also soft and the Netherlands.
Well, the little snowflakes.
So are you from there? Did you grow up there?
Yes, I grew up here. I was actually born and bred even like in the city that I still live in. It's kind of like near the places that most people know because everyone, of course, like obviously knows Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And then you have another city, which is like maybe 30 minutes away from Amsterdam, and like it's called Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
It's also a famous city. And then pretty close to that city is my city, and it's called Dordrecht.
Dordrecht. Okay. I'm not even going to try to do that again.
To pronounce. Yeah, it's impossible.
I assume you've been to Amsterdam.
I have, and I hated it.
Do,
like,
Yeah.
I mean, I really dislike every big city because except for Tokyo.
Okay.
That's the only city, like big city I've been to that I really loved. Hmm. But the other ones, I hated them all. I've been to Paris. I really hated Paris so much.
Yeah. Well, that's just mostly because the French are terrible. But
well, no, that's just... definitely true. I agree 100%.
Perfect. Perfect. This is going to be one of those parts that afterwards you're going to ask me to cut out.
I think we can level very well.
No, it's all right. I said it. I started it. But yeah, those, we don't need them. Save their ass in World War II. Never should have done it. Yeah, they'd all be eating schnitzel right now if it wasn't for us. Goose stepping down across the old canal. I'm just talking shit to the French for no reason now.
No, I mean, of course, there are always people who are nice, but you know, like generally, like the French are pretty stuck up. And
I've heard that actually. Yeah.
Thing, you'll notice. Like, I mean, there's just no, like, I haven't met any Parisian person that was kind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard that Paris, especially, is bad. You know what's funny, Felicia? Yeah. Is that, so like in Canada, in Eastern Canada, in like Quebec, and there it's French. Canadian,
yeah.
Which I've always made the joke. I'm French Canadian. You know, it's the worst kind of Canadian and the worst kind of French. you really lost. You know, it's like the movie Freddy vs. Jason. It's the worst version of both those things. But the French in French Canada are also very mean, and they're also rude to Canadians who aren't French. Like if you live in Quebec as a Canadian whose national language is English in Canada, right? They won't speak, even though the French Canadians speak English, they won't speak English to the other Canadians. They only speak French because they want to like exclude them and feel superior.
So like, yeah, kind of like they have the same attitude.
Yeah, they're still snobby. I'm like, motherfucker, you live in Canada. Chill out. You know, you live in goddamn America's attic.
But they just have the same attitude. It's crazy. I mean, if you even think about, like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's like, did they inherit it? You know, like, or was just in their genes?
Yeah.
To feel superior all the time? Like, I wonder how that works.
And I got to tell you, they don't got a lot to be snobby about. You know, it's not like they got a lot going for them over there, you know?
Canada's not such a bad country.
Canada?
No, I think it would be pretty good to live there.
It's okay. I'm not a fan. It's got some ups. It's got some beautiful countryside. It's got some beautiful countryside, and there's some cool people from Canada. There's
and
some really
they have
great
good health care.
They, yes and no. Surprisingly, I've got some Canadian friends, and they all say that it sounds really good on the surface. The problem is that it's impossible. It's near impossible to get any type of appointment. So like because it's all free, if you have any type of specialty needs, like got to see a specialist, it'll take months, even a year to get an appointment. And because the way their system works is that the state or the government subsidizes the doctor's pay, right? But the doctors can only make a certain amount of money in a year, and then they're capped out, and they can only and they can't make any more money than that. So what happens is most of those doctors around September of every year, they've hit their cap, so they just stop working for the year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, so basically September through December, you just can't get a doctor at all because they'd have to work for free, and they're not going to do that. So, wow. I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but all my friends for the most part, they're like, "Yeah, it's well known, like after September, you're like, good luck."
Well, then at least I think that in my country, we shouldn't complain anymore about the healthcare because we can get appointments all the time. You know? Like sometimes we do have to wait for a couple of months, especially mental health right now, because, there's not enough personnel.
Mm.
That's like, kind of like our problem.
Really? Yeah.
No, there aren't enough doctors who have a certificate, you know, so, or a degree. And that's kind of like our problem. But yeah,
Netherlands does seem like a place that would be very mental health advocates, you know. Like they'd be for that. And I mean that in a good way. That's not a pejorative. Because like another fun fact I know about the Netherlands, they actually have more bicycles than people.
True.
yeah. There's like,
actually do research about the Netherlands, or did you meet other people who were Dutch who told you?
No, neither, actually. I just happen to know weird facts.
I love knowing weird facts too.
I don't know if I've ever met anyone else from the Netherlands, honestly. I mean, maybe if so, I didn't know. But yeah, so they've got like, it's something like, it's like 1.7 bikes for every one person or something like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's correct.
And which tells me that like someone who bikes a lot is someone with that's interested in their mental health. I feel like those are like that Venn diagram is a circle, you know, because like I feel like people who bike are interested in their health. And also like the mental health of biking is this clearing your head. I'm out in nature. I'm, you know, does that make sense to you at all?
It does make sense, but that's actually not the reason why people bike a lot here. It's just because, you know, like we have good infrastructure for bicycles. And it's because like people here, they care about their money.
Oh,
so most people just want to, you know, like, get somewhere the cheapest way possible.
So, oh, no, so you guys are just cheap. Okay. It's not like we care little about our mental health. We just are cheap ass sons of bitches. Anything to save a nickel.
Kind of it. So, people do it to save money, and they also do it because it's easy. You know, like you can get places faster by bicycle than by car sometimes. For example, if you're dropping off your kids at school, then it's easier to go by bicycle because you can get in between all the small little streets, and then you'll be faster, you know. And also because it's very crowded with the cars in the streets where the schools are. And then you have to wait for a very long time until you can get into the street or out of the street. So then, you know, it's better to go by bicycle or just to walk or whatever.
That makes sense. Again, I'm going off nothing but the generalizations in my brain. but the Netherlands strikes me as a place that's overall like healthy people. Like you don't see a lot of obesity. I imagine you don't see a lot of obesity, a lot of like it's people who are generally like healthy people.
Well, it's definitely not as bad as America. No, definitely not. Of course, like we have some people who suffer from obesity, but in general, I think most people are pretty healthy. Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like food wise, probably healthier food, more balanced diet, that type of thing. Like less fast,
I think
less
that's
fast
definitely
food.
True. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always fascinating to me because we, you know, I'm such an advocate for like I grow most of my own food. It's like I've got like a garden and a fruit orchard, so most of my own fruits and vegetables. If I don't grow them, I buy them from local ranchers and farmers. Most of the meat I buy is all locally sourced from like. Farm raised, no antibiotic, like real stuff.
Oh, that's very good.
So I'm very conscious about that, but I mean, yeah, obviously I live in Texas, in a place where everything is bigger in Texas, they say, and that includes the people. So they definitely are larger. But you know, I mean, we've got fast food restaurants that are open 24 hours a day. And
I actually thought that people in Texas would be healthier than the rest of America, you know, like because they have, well, I mean, in my mind, you know, if I think about Texas, I think about people who live on ranches. They have horses, like they have cows and stuff, and they are farmers kind of like. Yeah. So if I think about Texas, then I immediately think about healthy people who ride horses a lot or who cycle or whatever. I don't walk around.
Yeah.
That's not the case, if I understand correctly.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. There is some of that. That does exist in a lot of places in Texas. But also you have like 4 to 5 really large cities, you know, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, Austin, and, you know, even like El Paso is fairly large. So you've got these bigger metropolitan areas where none of that is happening. And that's the where the population density is. I mean, San Antonio is the 7th biggest city in America. So, I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and big cities are dangerous, generally.
They certainly can be. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm looking at moving outside of the city a little more even soon, getting some bigger property. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have too many comics, you know, so.
I know they keep going. It's crazy.
That's a lot. I thought I had a lot, but that's, yeah, impressive.
This is probably over 30,000 individual comic books.
Have you read them all?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, in my lifetime, yeah, pretty much. So.
So you keep all the comic books you ever read?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I usually don't buy them unless I want to read them and keep them. And that's another reason I want to get a bigger piece of property. I've got these blueprints for like this little museum I'm gonna build for all my comic books and collectibles.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's something I love. So, I mean, I've been collecting since I was 10, so I've had a lot of time under my belt for it. I gotta ask. So I'm always curious as to, I love talking to people in other countries and their view of America. Have you been to America?
I have.
Did you? Where have you been in America?
New York.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not really America. That's like communist Russia.
No, like I also didn't really feel comfortable there.
Really?
I mean, it was kind of fun, but it's just that everything is so fake, and I'm not used to that because Dutch people are so real. You know, like whenever we have an opinion, we just say it. Like whether you want to hear it or not, we're just like, yeah, but it's just the truth. You know, like. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, if the dress is hideous, then I'll tell you, you know, like, no, I don't like that dress. I don't think it looks good, or I don't think it looks good on you. Like, you have better dresses in your closet.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, for Americans, like, they would always be like, oh, but it looks great on you. Oh, it's so awesome. Mm. Oh, you should definitely buy it, you know? And then I'm like, I mean, I can tell that it looks horrible. Like, why are you even trying to convince me that it looks good on me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, so like everyone is very disingenuous with their conversation.
Yeah, yeah, like, yes.
So
I don't really like that because, you know, like I'm not used to it because I feel that you should always be honest, but that's just how we do it and it's important in our culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's different for America and they probably love it because they think everything should be great and awesome and wonderful all the time, but that's not how life works.
Yeah, well, I here's the thing. I don't think everyone here loves it. I think they all just feel like everyone needs to feel like they're being liked and that everyone likes them and that they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And it's like, I don't know, honesty, as long as you're not being malicious, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, exactly. You know, and sometimes people just need to hear the truth because, like, for example, I wouldn't want my friend to walk around looking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, like, it's better to be honest because I'm helping the person, you know? Yeah.
That's the key difference between men and women is that I would encourage my friends to walk around and look ridiculous. I would convince them they looked amazing just so they walked around all night looking like a fucking asshole. And it would be hilarious to me. Like that is a fundamental difference between men and women is men will find a way to torture their friends in ways they didn't even know is happening.
Well, but then maybe American women are the same way and they just say that it looks great because they want you to walk around like an idiot.
Well, actually, you know, you may have a point because I don't know how this is in other countries necessarily, but I can tell in general, American women, hate all their friends. So if they can make one of their friends look like shit, it just makes them look better. So
that's horrible.
Yeah, well, no. you know, you can't buy self-esteem. So it's yeah.
Well, apparently.
Again, that's a gross generalization. I'm sorry. Don't write people. But
I mean, like, some generalizations do have some kind of truth in it.
Right, even like the if French are terrible.
Everyone, it may apply to a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like how the French are terrible.
From Paris. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't apply to everyone, but maybe, you know, like to to a
most
lot
of them, 99.9% of them.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, but yeah, sometimes, you know, like some generalizations do have some kind of truth.
Yeah. So as a foreigner who has been to, America, a little bit at least, you know, New York is not really a huge sampling of the country, but I assume it seems like to me that does American news like proliferate the Netherlands? Do you guys are you guys getting the stuff that's happening here? And like, is it a thing?
Yeah, so, definitely. Okay. Yeah, because of course, like, the Netherlands is up America's ass.
Yeah, so it's like a point of contention. So you guys, okay. So what, I mean, how do you guys view America? Like, I mean, it just in general, like when you talk to people, what's the vibe of the Netherlands feelings of America?
Like it's kind of mixed, because like there are some people who are happy, you know, like about the Trump situation, and they think that he's doing a really good job. And then you also have like the people who think like, well, it's the other way around, kind of. And but yeah, like it's, but generally, I think that most people think that America's kind of like a mess.
Yeah.
At the moment. Like, yeah, there used to be this thing to look up to, kind of. And like, I think that nowadays people don't really have that view anymore. And even though the government's still, you know, like, oh, America, like America fan, you know, like the people are more different, and they feel that it's not as good as it was.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not as good as it was. It's getting worse all the time. And, you know, that is for a lot of reasons. And I just blame politicians, mostly all of them. Not any particular side. I think they're all terrible. That's my point.
It's like you got evil and like even more evil and like the most evil.
Yeah,
so
there's
no in between.
Yeah, there's no good version. You guys view it as it's just kind of a shit show now. You guys like, it's like the new reality show. Like, what happens this week in America?
We talk around about it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What now over in the Netherlands, you guys have a you guys still have a king and queen. You're not queen, or you have a monarch. It's gonna be a king or a queen. So are they like the president then? Do they actually, or is it like England where it's more of a title? There's no actual power behind it anymore.
They do have power to some extent, but not really. Like it's kind of more for formality. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they do have some kind of power, but it's not really that big. No.
Could you guys still have a Senate and a House committee, or what it's called? Something like a House of Commons. Is that what it's called? A Senate and a House of Commons?
No, we have very different names. Like for us, like if I translate it literally, like we call it like a first and second room. And then, in the second room, like that's where we have all the elections for, you know, and then they elect some ministers and government officials and whatever. And then you also have some for the other one. And then they actually create plans or come up with plans, you know, and then they have to send it to the other part and then ask them if they also agree. And then, you know, like the motion is accepted or not. Yeah. So it's kind of different.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that way it's also more protected, because like nobody can come up with a plan that easily, and it will not be accepted that easily. So if people really want you, well, I mean, like we have one minister who's very like, well, he's kind of racist, to be honest. It happens. He's like, some people call him Hitler the second, but you know, like he's pretty ambiguous.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the thing is that if he, like, he says things like, oh, all people from that country should go back to their country and they can't stay in the Netherlands anymore. And then everyone laughs about it because, you know, like, there, of course, there are some people who say, like, yeah, go for it. You know, we want the same thing. And then you have, like, all these people who are like, oh, seriously, like, that's never going to happen. Yeah. Like, how stupid can you be? Yeah. You know, like, you're just making a fool out of yourself because it's not going to happen, because people can vote for you all the time. And even, you know, he won. But even though he won, like, he can't get anything done because nobody else is going to agree.
Yeah.
And he never has, like, he would never get like enough votes in the whole, you know, like room, mm-hmm. To actually get his plans to get accepted. Hmm. So it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you guys are pretty close to Germany. Could be a Hitler ancestor. So you never know.
But we are not the same as the Germans at all.
I know you guys. Great.
I know that people confuse the language though.
Cause you guys speak Dutch, right?
Yeah, and it's very different from German. Sure. It's not the same at all. It does not even look like each other.
How come your language is Dutch, but you live it? How come you don't call it Dutchland or something, or Deutschland?
No, because Deutschland is Germany.
Yeah, I know, right? So how come? Why? So it's confusing.
Germany in America, you know, but for us, we call it Deutschland.
You do, okay. So how come they speak German and you guys speak Dutch? That's so confusing.
Yeah, I don't know how that works language-wise, because I haven't studied about it, to be honest. Yeah. I haven't looked it up either. But I think it does have to do with the fact that, you know, like, because language travels around the world, you know how it goes. I actually did study some linguistics, but it was more about the English language. Mm, yeah. So I know that English derived from Frisian, for example, from Danish and French a bit. And Frisian is actually a part of the Netherlands. So there are so many words from Frisian that actually exist in the English language. So, for example, cheese comes from the pizza, which is Frisian. So it's very funny. And that traveled all the way up to, you know, like what is now known as England. And there it started. And then it traveled back to America.
Wow. Yeah.
And, everywhere. You know, like, but our language is older.
You guys have been around way longer than us. Yeah. So you were talking about this guy in your parliament or second house, the racist guy, and have me wonder how diverse ethnically or culturally is the Netherlands?
Oh, very, very. Yeah. We have so many different, you know, cultures and ethnicities here because, you know, like whenever there was trouble here, for example, after the Second World War, mm-hmm. There weren't enough people who could do like a specific work. So they asked a lot of people from different countries to come here and help out. And they often did that, you know, at several points in history. So we have lots of Turks here. We have people from Morocco. We have people from the Dutch Antilles. So the Dutch Caribbean, sorry. Mm. And from Aruba, from... they're the Dutch islands, you know, like, And then we also have lots of people from, well, I mean, like literally every country you can think of. There's people from Spain. like England. You can just come across people from every single country you can think of.
Yeah.
All have their different cultures. Oh, and lots of people from Indonesia as well.
Okay, so it's pretty diverse. That's interesting. I mean, I always, it's...
Oh, and there were so many refugees who came here recently, you know, like people from Syria, from Afghanistan. That's also the case.
How do they assimilate? Is there assimilation issues with Dutch culture? Does the Netherlands have like a rich cultural foundation that they're looking to keep? Because I mean, you know, like America has kind of this antiquated idea and kind of oftentimes misquoted idea of what like the foundation of our country should be. Like we're formed on Christian values. And like, well, not really, but kind of, you know, it's not that. I would say not really, considering Benjamin Franklin said that the church was very corrupt and no one should go. Yeah, anyway, so like it's not exactly, it's kind of a misappropriation of what people said, but there's like this idea of the values of the American culture.
I understand exactly what you mean, and I think our country has the same problem as yours, because we don't really have like a specific culture. If you will, I mean, we have some things that have cultural value, but I mean, like, compared to the Japanese, for example, like, we don't have that kind of culture. Our culture is very different. And it's actually, like, I wouldn't know if you can even call it culture. It probably is. But for me, it's so normal.
Right,
that
right.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
And, but I think that goes for everyone, you know, like, because certain things are just normal in your way of life, mm-hmm. kind of. So, but yeah, of course, like we have our specific dances, we have our, we have Dutch music, you know, we party in a different way than some other countries do. We have different values on how women should behave or what the role of a woman is. And
What are the rules of a woman?
Yeah, exactly. So, and for example, like for different countries, like people have different ideas of how, you know, like everyone should behave, like what a man should do, what a woman should do, mm-hmm. like how the children should behave, or, and sometimes it clashes. Yeah. And then, you know, like the acceptance also becomes less kind of, and then, like it's also the media, you know, they always talk negatively about certain groups, especially always the groups that are, you know, that came in last kind mm-hmm. of,
yeah, yeah.
They're always the troublemakers, yeah. if you will. So, and then if the media portrays it that way, then people start complaining like, oh yeah, but it's always because of those. Oh yeah, but it's always because of the, no, it's because of them, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get this we and them situation. And I really hate it because, you know, I'm half Colombian. My mom is from Colombia.
Right.
But I was raised with my Dutch grandparents. So of course, like I have this very Dutch mindset. And if people see me, like, it's kind of hard to tell that I'm not completely Dutch. Like they mm-hmm. can kind of see because I'm very small, very tiny. And of course, like I have, I mean, I get tanned faster, you know, yeah. than Dutch people. So, but still like they feel that I am Dutch. So whereas when they see my husband, for example, they definitely see him as a foreigner.
Mm.
And it's because he was a refugee from Afghanistan. So he's a Muslim. Yeah. And then like, even though you can't really tell by someone's appearance, just because he looks like, he has black hair, he has a beard, you know, then they're immediately like, he's a foreigner, you know? Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, my mom's a foreigner too, but so what's the deal, you know? But then somehow they insta-hate him and they insta-like me. You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. And then whenever I tell people I'm half Colombian, they like it because they think of all the fun and the fun vibes and the music and Shakira and, you know, like all the cool things for my country, or they make jokes about Coke or whatever. But it's never that they're mean to me or racist to me. But whenever he comes in, you know, like people are like, oh, there you have a terrorist. Yeah. You know, like, oh, there's a terrorist there. And yeah. Or they say something like, oh, Allah Akbar, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, why? Like, he's also just a person, you know, like, and I mean, when I walk around with him and you look at me, like, how can you think that this person has like all ideas about terrorism or whatever, you know, like, do you really think he would walk around with me and yeah. have terrorist thoughts? Like,
well, let's hope not. But no, I can't. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I'm gonna guess.
But it's just, you yeah. know, like, yeah, they are prejudiced, but sometimes everyone is, and I think it's also normal. It's a part of being a human. Like we talked about the Parisians as well, you know, and then we talk about the fact that most of them are that way, and then it's kind of like, yeah, how should I put it? I mean, you always have this certain idea of how people are, kind of. before you meet them. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet them, you change your opinion about them based on how they are. Yeah. And then you see this person for who they are genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's why I always wonder how, you know, other countries. I didn't realize Netherlands was so culturally diverse. That's really interesting to know.
And I love it about my country because I like learning about other cultures. Sure.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
it's
I created my own culture.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is. It's important because, you know, it's and, you know, you mentioned like Tokyo or Japan, like it's very homogenized there. They encourage it's not a melting pot. It's not a cornucopia of other cultures. It's homogenized and they kind of encourage that. Right. And they encourage that to the point where they're
Japan to be Japan.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, like here's an example that is really simple for people. When the Olympics come around, right? If you look at any of the Chinese teams for anything, it's all Chinese people. Japan's all Japanese people. Korea's all Korean people.
Exactly.
And then you go to like America and it's you know, ethnically Latino, you know, African American, you know, everything. So like, so it's really
my country. If you check out the Olympics and you look at the Olympics, then you will see people from all different cultures.
They let you guys in the Olympics? I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
We always win so many gold medals.
I'm kidding. The
it's just a shame you're behind the screen, you know, because otherwise, you know.
It's what we were talking about earlier. You got to talk shit a little bit, right? You got to get, you know, give it back and forth a little.
I love that.
What do you guys usually win in? I mean, you guys, what's you guys' thing?
Well, you know, to be honest, like I'm not really a sports fan.
Oh.
But I do know that we won a lot of medals. I think like we won one with the running competition.
Okay.
Or sprinting, or I don't know, something. You know, the one with the hurdles and stuff.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so
I believe
it that one was actually very important because like I think they were lagging behind it kind of like a bit, and then this one girl, she was so freaking fast and she ran past everyone and then they won. You know, and it was on every TikTok, you know, and every Facebook reel or whatever, and you could see it everywhere. And they were all like, "Oh yeah, you know, like it's awesome," and she did that. So it was big. It was big news. Yeah.
All right, you guys are out there.
I'm not really a sports fan because I used to practice fighting sports. The only sports I like is fighting sports, and you know, the Olympics only has judo, I think.
They're boxing.
Boxing, yeah, but like it's a different kind of boxing.
It's a little different, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really, you know, like the thing I like to watch.
And they've got like Greco-Roman wrestling, like traditional wrestling, which is...
Yeah, exactly. But it's more like the traditional sports instead of like the actual heavy, you know, like awesome fights. I don't know. Like I prefer watching MMA, for example.
What did you train in?
I practiced so many different ones because when I was very young, when I was a kid, I practiced judo. Mm. Then as a teen, I practiced kickboxing.
Yeah.
Then after that, I did Krav Maga.
Kickboxing in your area, like, is actually like...
It's big. It's huge. Yeah, we have so many famous fighters.
There's some really crazy Dutch, like, kickboxers. God, what's the one guy's name?
We had Peter Arts. He was very famous like a few years ago. And I actually watched his last fight in Japan.
Oh, really?
I was so very lucky to witness it. Yeah. And right now we have Rico Verhoeven.
Yeah.
He's very famous and he's so tall.
Yeah.
He's huge. Yeah. And we had Sam Schild. And another one that's also very good, Remy Bonjasky.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there are so many famous fighters from the Netherlands.
Yeah, there's a lot of kickboxers from that area. You know,
and they're so good.
Yeah, it's people don't realize that area has produced a ton of really phenomenal kickboxers. That's because I grew up boxing and then I kickboxed for a long time. I did MMA.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so like, and I love. I mean, I love like UFC, MMA, but I'm a huge kickboxing fan also. Like, it's so much, people don't realize how crazy it is to watch, and how like Muay Thai, kickbox, and stuff like that. It's really, really impressive.
Yeah, it's intense.
And there's some really phenomenal fighters out of that area for sure. So yeah. So tell me, as someone who grew up in the Netherlands, someone who loves the area, obviously you live there. What if someone were to visit, sell us on visiting there? Where's the best place to go? The secrets that, like, of the locals, like, you know, obviously people just know Amsterdam, right? So you say you don't like Amsterdam.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't recommend going there.
Sure.
Like, that's definitely, you know, a no-go area. If you're very young, you know, and you want to party kind of, then I can imagine that you would want to go to Amsterdam. But even then, there are better places to party, you know, like Rotterdam, for example, or Breda would be way better. Breda is more traditionally Dutch kind of, because they have more like the small cafes. And if you go in the cafes, like, I know the people just really know how to party over there.
Yeah, but
you know,
don't people want good, like, the red light district in Amsterdam? Isn't that?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, you know, it has a certain appeal, but trust me, it's not as big as you think it would be, because it used to be, but they really narrowed it down somehow, because there were just too many people, you know, like, going there, and it got crowded, and yeah, it became dangerous. I don't know. So they were trying to, you know, like, spread it more. Like, so it's not really just one district anymore.
Is
like, you have like the lots of shops, and you have a museum and stuff like that. And of course you have a few windows with the ladies behind it, but no, it's not as big as it used to be.
Is prostitution legal there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I was like, yeah,
it's like literally legal, but
or people just kind of turn. Okay, so if I go to the Netherlands and I only have one day, should I go to Amsterdam or should I go to the red light district or the Anne Frank house? Which one should I go to? Wait, I like how this is like you're really like, well, you know, I mean,
it's so different. Like, how can you even?
I know. I just assumed the answer would quickly be Anne Frank House.
The one thing is that, I mean, within Amsterdam, you have the Anne Frank House and you have the red light district.
So I can do both.
Either one of the two, right?
I can bike to the other one.
But if you go there for one day, you can do both.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Perfect. I'll do both. No, I'm kidding. Have you been to the Anne Frank House?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Is it interesting?
It was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
I was in high school.
Is it like, is it interesting to see?
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, definitely.
So sorry, where should people go? Where should people go then to,
well, I mean, you know, you should just hang out with some Dutch people, I think.
Okay.
And then just go do some fun stuff, because that way will be better. I don't know. Like, you'll get to know the way people actually live, you know, just rent a bike and go cycling somewhere, but not in Amsterdam, because it's too crowded. You have to go like some places that are beautiful. And what else?
Like, what's a good...
Definitely go partying, definitely. But then just in a cool club, you know, or a small cafe where you can really feel the Dutch vibes. I don't know. Like, it's really cozy and it's lots of fun.
Yeah. What's...
Yeah.
What's,
Dutch people know how to party.
All right. I believe you. You got dragons on your wall. You party. No one puts a dragon on their wall if they're not down to party. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. See, this is someone who's had some fun. Tell us, I have these three questions. What, if we go to one city, what city should we go to? What is a local Dutch cuisine that we should eat or try?
Wow. That's so difficult.
And how's the coastline? How's the beaches in the Netherlands?
Well, the beaches are okay. Like, they're nothing special, but they're good, you know, and they're safe.
Safe.
Which also very important. Yeah, they're very safe. Can just swim there and there's no scary animals or anything, you know, like no creepy sea life.
Okay.
So yeah, it's very safe, and
is it cold?
They're quite clean. Well, it can be cold, it can be warm, depending on when you get here, because you know, like in summer, it can be very warm.
Okay.
Yeah, but during the winter, like you shouldn't go to the beach at all. You'll die. Only Russian people can do it. Okay. So, but people do go for a swim during New Year's.
Okay, Day. The polar plunge.
Yes. Yeah, it's. Well, I mean, I cannot understand it, you know, like it's a typical Dutch thing, but yeah. It's not for me because I get cold way too fast. Yeah. You know, I die before I even get in the water.
Just thinking about it.
So, yeah. But I love people doing that. You know, it's lots of fun. About the dish. Well, if there's one thing you should try, it's the frikandel.
Frikandel?
Yeah. Frikandel. Yeah. It's well, what is it? It's like meat, and they put like lots of meat.
Wait, hold on. It's like meat or it is meat? Because those are very different. Like, what is this? Well, have you tried meat? It's kind of like that. It's a little different. You know, that's you're not okay, selling it. No.
It is meat.
Okay. But that's better.
It's a little different because it's the excess meat, if you will.
Okay, that's okay. And I'm Mexican. We eat all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah, you should be able to eat it as well. But I mean, everyone will love it if they try it. So then you can't compare it to a sausage because sausages are in like the intestines of the sheep, right? Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, a little casing.
No, it's not like that at all. I don't know, like they press it in a shape or something and then they get like really, well, nice. Yeah, it gets like a really nice bite. So it's not really like a crunch, but it does taste really good.
And so it's just like it's like the balloon animal of meats. It's like a meat and then they put it in a shape.
Yeah, it's like very strange meat, but it's okay. So good. And people often put sauce on it, like for example, mayonnaise and what we call a curry sauce. And that's, it's made of tomatoes or whatever. Like, I don't think you even have it in America.
It's like ketchup?
Definitely. Well, it's not the same as ketchup because ketchup is sour and the curry is not sour.
Interesting. Yes. Well, in America, they put a shit ton of sugar and fake sugar in our ketchup. So it is very sweet.
Oh, so maybe it tastes different.
Yeah, but they fuck up our ketchup. So it's called.
Maybe you should find a Dutch one.
Yeah, I'll find a Dutch ketchup. It's called frikandel.
Frikandel, yeah.
Okay, I'll
give. It's like a frikandel, you know.
Give me that frikandel, huh? sound like a real foreigner. What's up with that frikandel?
Yeah, exactly. So it's easier to remember.
Yeah, I want that frikandel with the sour ketchup. Let's go.
no, not the sour ketchup, the sweet one.
Sweet one. Okay, and then what's the best like city or town to visit then? Like if I were to fly in, where do I go?
Well, of course I haven't been to all towns or cities or whatever. But I mean, I think I would really like to go to Breda. Or show the person Breda because like they have very nice architecture and they also have like a lot of things to do. So you can go to the cinema, you can go to the casino, you can party, but you can also visit like nice shops and you can dine out. And it's just a very beautiful city. You have a nice park. So it kind of like has everything in one city.
Okay.
It's vibrant and lively, you know, but still fun. So it's not like the big cities like Amsterdam where it's too crowded and annoying and it stinks, you know, and it's messy. It's not the same at all. This one's clean, it's neat, it's good.
Okay. And it's called Rijndael.
Breda.
I was way off. I just made something up. I'm gonna end up in a way different place. Getting around as a foreigner, if you don't speak Dutch, are you going to have trouble getting around?
Well, I mean, almost everyone speaks English here.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. Okay, so you're
so good. You have some people who feel shy, you know, but even they can speak.
Oh, they do. Okay. Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, that is, I'm going to go on TripAdvisor as soon as we're done with this and go get my freaking Dylan. No, I would love to eventually. It's one of the places I want to visit, but you know, it's on the list. So
I think you'll love it.
I would imagine so. I love traveling. I love trying and seeing new places. So, I am a world explorer and I want to hit all the places before I die.
Yeah, maybe so. You can do a show here.
There you go. Yeah. Do they like stand-up comedy there?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. How much do they know about Mexicans? I talk a lot of shit about my Mexican heritage. Do they know what those are?
Well, I mean, we have people from South America here. Oh. You know, not just Mexicans, but there's Colombians, there's Brazilians. Like, we have people from all over South America.
Okay. They'll get it then. Perfect. I'll set it up. Yeah. I'll set my tours coming to Netherlands. Well, let's talk about your comic book, Sirens of Blood and Water, which you've been working on. Tell us a little bit about this book, how it came to be, and yeah, where you're at with it.
Ooh, that's crazy, actually. You know, like, I'm a thinker and I'm always thinking all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, my head never stops. And sometimes I also see images in my head. And then one day I saw this image in my head and I was like, oh, I really need to create a story out of it, you know? But I always wait because eventually it will come to me.
Mm, 100%.
Like, the pieces of the puzzle will fall together.
Yeah.
So, like, fragments were starting to come at me, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, I could make this happen. Or, yeah, it should end that way. I want this to happen in the story. But then still it was not complete until I heard the song. And I heard the song Sirens of Blood and Water, and it's made by my favorite band.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. And when I heard the song, somehow I got all these images in my mind and I could see it in front of me. And that's the moment I knew what I wanted with the story. And then as I was writing, you know, it unfolded even more. And I put all the pieces of the puzzles of the puzzle together. And of course, I also did some research because whenever I'm writing something, I want to know more about the subject, kind of. So I knew that I was going to write about mermaids, but then I thought about, mermaid communication, like how do animals actually communicate underwater? And then I just wanted to know. So I just looked it up on the internet, you know, like how do fish communicate with each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that when I looked it up, it actually said that fish can communicate, you know, by swimming higher or lower, depending on their emotions. And their color changes a bit. So, for example, if they are angry or threatened, they get like a darker color.
Yeah.
And if they are happy and, you know, or if they want to breed or whatever, they have like vibrant and colorful colors. And I thought, like, I can use this. Awesome. And it will give like a tiny extra dimension to the story.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, like all these small things that people normally don't really think about, if you as a writer do think about it and try to, you know, like put it there in your story, even though it's not really that grave or important or whatever, you know, like it still creates like a whole new world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it adds more, like you said, dimension, more depth to the world.
Yeah, exactly.
The world building. What's kind of the elevator pitch for the book?
Oh, that's always so difficult because I think it's kind of complex to just put it in an elevator pitch. But yeah, so we have two worlds. Of course, we have the sea world and the island. And there's no way for the mermaids to actually get out of their zone because there are dangerous creatures, you know, there, and there's the current because of that, they can't, you know, like leave that part of the sea. Same goes for the people. Because of the current, they also can't, you know, sail away from that part. So they're kind of like stuck on the island.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that happened is that because of the first war between the people and the mermaids, which was caused by someone who is hidden in the story, but that's kind of like the secret, sure. You know? Yeah, because of that first war, all mermen died. So there are no mermen left. So the mermaids, they need to come up with ways to, to kind of ensure their existence. And because of that, of course, they have no choice but to breed with the humans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the thing is that actually the first war started because they were not allowed to breed with the humans, because the humans, they have different genetics, and the genetics actually don't work well with the mermaids. So in the mermaid world, like, everyone should be beautiful, you know, and it should be an ecstasy of beauty.
Yeah.
Also, queen is always chosen because of her beauty. So she has to be like the most beautiful creature in the entire realm. And in the human world, it's very different because they don't care about genes at all. They are not in touch, you know, with nature. They are not in touch with themselves. They have a very different culture. And right now, at the point where the book starts, they have an entirely different culture because they are run by some sort of villain witch, like a village witch, or... how should I call her? She's like a queen / village witch or guide.
Okay.
And she helps the people, or the people think that she wants to help them. And she's kind of actually, she has lots of secrets that, of course, she, like, I can't share everything.
Yeah, you got to save some.
It's a little bit difficult to talk about your story when you can't share everything.
Yeah.
But of course, like, she's kind of tricking the people into believing that she wants to help them, but she has her own agenda, and so the people on land, they do obey her because they think that she's speaking the truth, and in obeying her, like, they have to do everything she says, and which also gives like very different manners and ways of what should I call it, like, gender roles. Like, normally in our world we are used to how women and men have like divided roles. Mm-hmm. Right, so in that world, because of the village witch, like, everything is switched around a bit.
Mm.
So the men, for example, they can't really be men because they have to obey their wives, and which is very difficult for the men because they, you know, like, feel stuck and caged. And it's pretty difficult for them, you know. And I think it's interesting because kind of like everything that happens in the real world,
yeah,
is kind of switched around in my story.
Yeah.
And at the end of reading my story, I hope that people will also think about it, like, what if the roles were reversed, you know, like, would it really get to a situation where this could happen, you know, or is it really healthy to always want to change everything and have like one gender or one culture or ethnicity that's more important than the other? Mm-hmm. You know, like, should we really live that way? Because people are always in conflict all the time. And it's kind of like everyone's hating on each other so much nowadays.
Yeah.
And they don't take each other into consideration. That this is also like one of the points I wanted to make by writing my book. And it was actually not really on purpose when I started off, but when it all came together, like, it actually fit the storyline so perfectly that I was like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very exciting, cool story to read. But once you've read it, like, you will also see like the deeper meaning of it. Yeah. And then hopefully, you know, think about the world and how we treat each other.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's always good when there's a deeper subtext in the comic book. That's one of my favorite things about the medium of comic books, is that you can tell really meaningful stories about class roles, managerial class, ethnic class. They also, I mean, any type of story, but you can tell it in a fantastical way. You know, you can use mermaids as an avatar to tell this story, you know, but what the story you're telling is much deeper. And that's, my favorite thing about comic books is you can, like, the delivery system seems crazy, but if you're willing to dissect it a little bit and actually spend some time digging into it, you can see what we're really talking about here.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, for people who are just looking for a cool story to read, it will just be a cool story to read, you know? But for people who like to dissect, like, all the deeper meanings, like, they will enjoy it so much because yeah. I really put a lot in there, you know? But that's always the thing for me. Like, I really don't want it to be, you know, like, an in-your-face kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, but it's kind of there, but I don't want to, like, force it onto people, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, people have to be open to it also. So, you know, right. They have to be open to themselves to finding those things and looking for them. So maybe it's a start.
Because I also don't want the story to be labeled as, oh, it's woke, you know, like, that would be terrible. Because, I mean, people give a negative meaning to woke. And I think it's such a shame, you know, because if you think about it, like, it's just, you know, like, I think that it's important to choose the right person for the right job.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, then there's different approaches to it. Like, for example, if someone can't lift, like, heavy stuff, then, like, you can't say, like, oh, well, you know, we'll hire you anyway, and then we'll give you just, you know, like, the lighter boxes.
Yeah, what if they don't look like me, though? Like,
I need that's not, you know, like, it's not equality, if what I mean. So if you want equality, and it means, like, okay, we need people to lift these. If you can't lift it, sorry, then the job's not for you.
Right.
And if it means that, you know, like, 1 out of 10 women can carry it, then sure, she can get the job.
Right.
But if the women that who apply, you know, like, can't lift it, then sorry, you know, but this job's not for you. And if there's, you know, like, 10 men and 5 out of 10 men can carry it and the other 5 can't, like, then, yeah, of course you're going to select one of them.
Yeah.
Right. Because if these are the people who apply, then, like, you have to pick the one who can do it, who can do the job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
quality.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to play in the NBA, but I'm a 6'1" Mexican. I'm probably not going to be starting as center for the Lakers anytime soon. You know, that job.
Well, I mean, if you could jump really high, maybe you could. Well, no, but you get what I mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just not the thing for you.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you have to be realistic about it, because you can want everything in life and you can want it your way, but it doesn't mean that it's possible.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
People always say, like, yeah, everything's possible if you want it. No, not everything is possible if you want it enough.
A lot of things are. A lot of things, but you have to be very realistic.
I mean, someone in a wheelchair wants to walk, but you know, or, well, they might want to walk. Some people might not care, but I mean, what if they really, really want to walk? It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so at certain points, you just have to be realistic about your own capabilities.
Yeah, you can, no matter how many times you read The Secret, you're not going to be able to walk if you're handicapped, unfortunately. So,
yeah, it's very sad. I mean, I can want to become a writer, you know, but if people hate my story and they think it sucks and they think I'm a terrible writer, you know, then maybe it's just not for me, or I could try again, you know, and I could, you know, release another book or whatever, I can try again. But I mean, if people are constantly hating on everything I create, then of course at a certain point I have to look myself in the mirror and say, like, okay, well, maybe it's just not for you.
Sure. That's right? You kind of got to be realistic about it, 100%. So were you a comic book fan, or what made you get into this medium?
Well, I always wanted to become a writer. But I knew I didn't want to write, like, books.
Yeah.
So I was always more interested in storytelling with visuals. So at first, you know, when I came across anime, I also found out about manga, and it really appealed to me. Mm-hmm. And especially the way, you know, the Japanese consider it as an art form.
Yeah.
I think we miss that a lot in my country because a lot of people, when you talk to them about it, they think it's childish.
Sure.
Not yeah. like comic yeah. books childish, you know, like manga childish. Like, how can you even say that? Have you ever read it? Have you ever seen it? You know, like there's nothing childish about it. So there's a huge misconception about it. And of course, like there are lots of people who know, but only people who actually read it or yeah. like it. But for most general people, you know, like they don't know a single thing about it. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of painful that we don't, you know, like enjoy it as the art form it is. Mm-hmm. Because just like you have literature, you can also have literary comic books, because some comic books are really well written. Take Shell Shock, for example. Have you read that one?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, I think it's not that popular, but I thought it was really good because it was about a mental facility. And, there were people with different kind of mental states, you know, for example, like someone could have schizophrenia or whatever. And there was this lady who worked there. And, you just, as the story developed, you know, like, at the end, it turned out that she became crazy just by working there, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was portrayed in such a beautiful way. And the pictures actually made, you know, like the lines stronger, but the text was so well written and I thought it was really good. So then I was like, no, like it's not childish or weird to read at all. And it can have like the same exact value as any book can
yeah,
have.
Yeah.
And actually sometimes even stronger because you have these beautiful images just making all these sentences even stronger. So have you read Batman's Death of Innocence, for example?
Yeah.
So that one too, like I thought there were some lines that were so beautiful. For example, the one where he says like, the country's so beautiful, it looks like a garden of Eden,
mm-hmm.
but a garden sown with hideous cruelty. And he was referring to the landmines that were hidden, you know, in the ground.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a beautiful phrase, you know, and it's actually really stuck by me because now every time, like, I think about it, I'm like, yeah, like sometimes we see so much beauty in the world, but there can be such hideous cruelty, you know, hidden underneath what you see.
Yeah.
And it goes for every country because every single country in the world, no matter how beautiful it is, they always have a dark side.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's really there's so much depth in all these stories that people aren't. I mean, because I think people just think like, oh, Superman punches, fights, repeat the next month. And you're like, yeah, there is that. That does exist a lot in comic
books. Yeah, and it can apply, like it can be great for some people.
Sure.
If people love that, then please, by all means, read it. Because if you enjoy it, do it. You know, like you should enjoy whatever you read.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much out there that really has these deeper, just really intricate, crazy stories. And yeah, with fantastic, unique art. And it's, you know, a medium that's not respected because, like you said, it is considered kind of like childish and for kids. And when you realize that, I mean, really the demographics of people reading comic books now is, you know, in their probably 30s and 40s. That's the main demographic of people. So more of it's getting written up to that age group because these companies are realizing like, oh, we're not really getting younger readers. Younger readers are going to things like manga.
And it's such a shame because they are there. And I know because I go to events all the time, you know, and I help to sell comics or I just, you know, hand out flyers to promote some comics or whatever. And whenever I do, I see lots of young people, but you know what they're looking for? They're often looking for manga.
Yeah. Yep, the manga
because
is.
You are so crazy about Japanese culture the way I was when I was young, you know, and I still am. I still love Japanese culture with all my heart. But the reason why I chose to create a comic book is because it's easier for me as a foreigner to create a comic book than it would be for me to create a manga.
Yeah.
Because I would have to find a Japanese artist to want to work with me.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, Japanese people, they want to keep Japanese things Japanese.
Yeah.
So if I go there as a foreign writer, like they would not, you know, they would not be like really well willing to get on it, you know.
They wouldn't be like, welcoming.
I have no fame, I'm nobody, right? So it would be very difficult for me to get into it. So that's why I chose to just, you know, like create it as a comic or a graphic novel. I mean, I prefer to create a graphic novel with the story because I think it works better. Mm-hmm. And I would also probably, you know, have an easier time reaching my target audience. But like, I think it can work as a comic. Like, and it's going to be a mature story. It will have lots of violence. It has lots of nudity, you know. So it has everything like most comic book lovers like to read.
Yeah.
But yeah, like my preference is for it to be a graphic novel. Okay. But of course, creating a graphic novel will be more expensive because then I have to get the money like all at once.
Right, to do the whole thing instead of splitting it. Yeah, that is kind of the...
It's crazy expensive. I mean, you should know too, you know, like you created your own comic.
Yeah, yeah. It is not cheap to do the whole thing, especially, you know, if you're paying an artist, colorist, letter, all the, you know, and then printing.
Exactly.
It's an ordeal. But it can be done. And luckily with all the, you know, crowdfunding campaign options, there's a lot of options to help subsidize it. And, you know, so.
Yeah. So I'm still thinking about it, you know, about doing that because I might need it. But for now I'm all funding it myself just because I, you know, like, I worked very hard for it, but and there was also someone who was interested in investing. So, we created a contract.
Okay.
So that was also very helpful, you know, but I might still not make it. So I'm coming up with ways to do it. So I'm thinking about selling merchandise, because I think that's also a good way because people can actually, you know, like, buy products and get something in return for, you know, their money. And then I still have some extra money I can, invest in my book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's great. I look forward to you completing it and being able to read it and, everyone else getting to read it too. And, getting this bad boy out there and then seeing what you do next.
Yeah, and I'm really excited, you know, that the group is also growing on Facebook, especially because I created a separate group there. And there's lots of engagement already. And I think that it's so cool, you know, that people are responding to it and they're excited about knowing everything. And I love sharing the characters. And when I have my first pages, I want to share like tiny bits of it too.
Yeah.
So people can actually understand, you know, what I'm working on, because right now, like, it's all so vague and like people can't really see like what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for them to see what it's going to be, because then they'll know like it's not going to be childish. It's going to be awesome. You know, right. Like it will be epic because I really believe in it and I trust in it.
Well, I'm excited to see it when it's done. And tell people where they can find the group on Facebook or follow you to get more information, anything about the project.
Right. Well, on Facebook, I made a separate group and it's called Sirens of Blood and Water. So people can follow me there. And I just, you know, like post random stuff, ask questions, you know, to my followers, even if it's just about random stuff, because I actually, you know, got someone who asked me like, oh, but why do you ask all these questions? Like, don't you know what you want to do with the story? And I was like, no, I'm not asking these questions because of my story. I'm just asking this because I'm curious, you know, because I just want to know what people will think of my story. But it's not, you know, like because I am going to change my story based on what my followers think or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's just fun to share things or know about people's opinions and understand my my audience as well. And I can, you know, like think about it when I write my new book, but I already got the script, I got the idea, you know, so I'm not going to change anything about that. So, and then on Instagram, I just have my own page, and that's Furichan7. Like, I should check if there's a hyphen in there. I honestly don't know. No, it has no hyphen. So it's Furikun 7. Yeah. And I'm also on TikTok. I go by the same name, Furichan 7. And, well, where else am I? Yeah, I think that's it. Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, go and join the Sirens of Blood and Water group. Follow her project. Keep an eye out for updates and definitely support it when it does come out. It's going to be fantastic. Felisa, anything else before we get out of here today?
Oh, well, I really enjoyed talking to you, and I think we had lots of fun. I think we also leveled really well, so I really like that. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I would love to do it again sometime. Keep me updated, and we'll get you back on and talk more about everything.
Yeah, well, maybe when I'm a little bit further and I have the first pages, I'll show you, you know, and then you can also tell the people if it's good or not.
I'm sure. I look forward to it. Yeah, definitely let me know, and we'll make it happen. So we'll get you back on soon. So
you've seen all the secrets already. Right. You know?
Well, hopefully any I got, I'll share. Don't worry. All right, guys. Well, we're going to get out of here for today. We appreciate you hanging out. Again, go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live dates coming to you. The 2025 tour is kicking off now that the comic book is at the printer. Killstand number 2 coming soon. So follow inferno.earth on Instagram for those updates also. And that's it, guys, for Felisa and for the Social Hour. I am Deese. Thanks very much. And we will see you all next week.